You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Everybody at home and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And we are here to talk to you about a fantastic episode called Living Witness. We are going to do our own DVD commentary, or in this case, Netflix commentary, because, you know, who watches DVDs anymore? Let's get serious.
We can't go to that effort of actually putting a disc into a machine. Come on.
Unless you want to get me, you know, workman's comp for, you know, tennis elbow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true. You could sprain something.
Well, this is episode 423. That's right. It is at the end of season four. And season four is a fantastic season. And for those of you who don't remember, Living Witness is when the Doctor's backup module is found, his program is brought online for the first time in 700 years. I just read you the Netflix description, and it's short, it's concise, and it's fun.
There we go. Yeah, I think we're in for a good episode.
I think so, too. And as always, with all of our commentary, Char and I will be talking over the episode. You will not hear the episode in this audio file, because that is illegal. And
we don't want to be arrested.
So what we recommend for you to do is do exactly what we're doing. Put your DVD in, or pop in Netflix, or however you got the episode.
Yeah, we won't tell.
Yeah, put on the closed captions. And we're going to do 3, 2, 1, hit the button. And that button is play. Char, are you ready?
I am ready. Are you ready?
I am.
Let's do this.
3, 2, 1, play.
Boom.
Boom.
All right. So this sets the tone right away. It's nice and dark. Janeway's got her back turned. And is that a little something different I see with the hair? It's
a little
darker than usual.
It's a little darker. It's kind of like a pseudo-90s mullet thing going on.
It really is.
I love that opening line, because it lets you know right away, okay, this is wrong, this is weird. The line is, when diplomacy fails, there's only one alternative, violence. like it's the Starfleet way.
Right, and this isn't even like badass Janeway termed violence. This is just downright brutal, killing people, sociopathic almost in nature.
Yeah, you got the black leather gloves, and so you know they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the... as you can see, the color underneath the collar, like the mock turtleneck that all the Starfleet officers wear in Voyager, it's instead of this gray blue, it's just jet black.
It is. So what I'm getting out of this is, if you are an evil person, you are going to dye your hair dark. Mm-hmm. You're going to wear black gloves and put as much black into your wardrobe as possible.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, but I do like that detail.
This was one of my favorite episodes. Going back and rewatching Voyager, I had a lot of fun watching this. Like, even though, you know, it showed, you know, a fictitious, well, you know, all of it's fictitious, but, you know, a fictitious darker side of the Voyager crew, I thought it was fun, because, you know, Char, you and I talk all the time about how we were so remiss that we didn't get to see an all a mirror universe Voyager episode.
Right.
And yeah, we kind of got that with this one.
Yeah, exactly. This is about as close as we get. And, you know, this kind of makes me think a little bit, what would a mirror universe look like if we did get a mirror universe episode? Do you think it would be a lot like this?
I think it would be almost exactly like this. And it's, you know, there would probably be more variations where, I mean, like, you know, just a moment ago, we saw a Kazon on the crew. and walking through.
Right, I love that detail, too.
And that would totally happen. You know, it's kind of like when we saw so many different alternate versions of history or futures with TNG, where we'd see, I think there was one where Riker was supposed to be, like, asleep for 10 years, or he lost his memory of the past 10 years, and you see a Cardassian on the bridge crew. You know, it's just mind-blowing.
It is. Yes, although I think in a mirror universe, the Kazon officer, he's kind of there not by choice. I think he's a Kazon slave or something. Kazon really slave. Just make it really dark. And then here's another thing. He's got the Data circuitry in his head.
And he's got the Geordi eyes too.
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. I'm getting my characters confused here.
And go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I love that they don't tell you what's going on right away. You're just like, okay, Voyager looks different on the inside, on the outside. All the characters are different. The whole crew, the whole audience is like, what is going on?
And then there are these people who are dressed like pilgrims.
Then we find out, oh, it's just a simulation. You know, they're watching it from a historical perspective.
Yes.
And then they drop the knowledge bomb about how long ago it was.
Yeah, and that is a long time. 700 years.
Do you are you a Firefly fan, like, or a Serenity fan? I feel like we've talked about it so many times.
I have watched one episode of Firefly, and I didn't fall in love with it. I don't know if I need to keep going or if it's just not for me.
Well, that's a different conversation. You definitely need to keep going because it's really great. But
okay.
In the movie, it has this really cool perspective where it starts out and you get the history of the Firefly universe, and it's narrated, and you're like, oh, okay, so we're just getting some exposition, and it's just like a normal sci-fi movie where we explain what's going on and where we are, and then all of a sudden it comes out, and you realize the narration is somebody teaching a class. It's a history class, and it's a lot like the beginning of this episode. And on top of that, you go out even more where you find out that it's a person's dream. And then you go out even more and you realize that person's dream was actually hollow footage of their escape from an institution.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so there's just so many different layers of what you think is normal exposition. And it very much reminded me of the opening of Living Witness.
Yeah, I can totally see the parallel here. I thought it was very smart to not tell us up front, too, what was going on.
Yeah.
Because, like we've already illustrated, you can tell right away that something is different. You're just not sure what. But I think that hooks you in. Let's see what this is. And I think I remember when I first watched this, I thought, we're going to get the Mirror Universe episode. Ah! But then I realized, no, there would be, besides the black turtleneck, there would be a big change in the wardrobe. And that is, the ladies would be having bare midriffs.
That's right.
And the men would all have, like, the evil satanic looking mustache goatee thing.
The goatees, yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there who would have loved to have seen some of the women of Star Trek in midriffs. I mean, the women of Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, but just as many would want to see the guys all with evil goatees and torturing people as they do in this episode.
Yeah, I'm one of the few people in the universe who didn't actually like the Mirror Universe episodes of Enterprise.
Okay.
I mean, so many people love them, think that they're the best part of the series, and I did enjoy them, but at the same time, I felt like there was so much overacting that it hurt my head, and I mean, I know that's kind of the point, because they're supposed to be they're supposed to be sinister and, like, old-style sci-fi evil, you know, kind of just like in the TOS episode. But it's just, I felt like DS9 did it so dark and dreary and mysterious and just epic. And then Enterprise, you have, Bacula overacts to begin with, and then you just have...
And then he's really on another wavelength for those. I think it's a walking of fine line, definitely, because you do want it to be dramatic and different, but you don't want it to be almost mocking what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot Tuvok's ears are bigger.
Oh, really? They are! I never noticed this! How did I never notice this?
I forgot about that, yeah.
I think I was too busy staring at Chakotay's tattoo, which I love, by the way, the whole half-face thing.
That's so perfect. It reminds me of a Q, when he said, "Mine's bigger.
Not big enough. Yes, yes. It definitely reminds me of that, too. And I've been meaning to go make a side-by-side comparison to see if they're the same exact thing. I don't think they are, but I'm not sure. And we need to note that Tim Russ directed this episode, his one and only for Voyager.
I forgot that. Yeah, I didn't realize that this was his one and only.
Yes, I actually had to go into Memory Alpha today and make sure that he didn't direct any more because I knew he directed this one. But I thought for some reason he directed more, but no. The only other thing he's really directed has been, Star Trek of Gods and Men, which is a fan film.
Oh, right, right, that's right. I love how this version of Janeway is just like, people. Like, yeah. why are they giving me such a headache? Just destroy them, Tuvok, destroy them, please.
Could you get them out of my life? It would be kind of like her character Red on Orange is the New Black if she were a mass murderer.
If she were a mass murderer, yeah.
Before prison, maybe. Although, no, actually, her character was very different, but I'm just saying.
Just saying. I love, Harry with his slick back hair and... And I love that, like, Chakotay's like, I'm a man of peace. My native people are enlightened.
Yeah, and I'm going to smack the crap out of you.
Yeah. I love how the lines on his tattoo are even that much thicker. Like, they were drawn with a marker.
Yeah, they took the Sharpie out for this instead of the eyeliner or something.
Do you think, they're pronouncing Chakotay differently.
Yes.
Do you think that's a callback to the first season?
You know, I've always wondered that, and I'm not sure, but I laugh every time I hear it in this episode because it's so pronounced, lack of a better word. Chakotay!
Yeah, it's just like Janeway used to say it, which is like, Chakotay. Like, Chakotay. Right. It's not Chakotay, right. It's Chakotay.
Uh-huh. Torres would do it, too. Look back at Parallax, and I think she says it, it's almost Chakalotay.
Yeah,
she says it. I remember SF Debris in his video reviews. He makes fun of her when she says that in his review of that episode. It's hilarious.
It's absolutely right. She does it. She say it weird, like Chakotay, and I can't even do it. Like I can't. Oh yeah, I forgot about this. This is this always messed with me when I was younger. Like the retinas or the nerve endings behind his eyes are dissolving. That's just messed up.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Is this some weird LASIK surgery gone wrong? What happened here? Ow.
Yeah. Whenever somebody says, oh, no, you should go with LASIK now because it's safe now. No, it's not safe because that's what I imagine would happen to you is that my somebody's going to come up with a hypospray and my retinas are going to dissolve.
Thanks, man. I'm considering LASIK in my future within maybe the next year or so, but I might have to reconsider. One thing I love about the captions that I have to mention is when they do say Chakotay, they have it syllable by syllable.
Yeah, they have dashes in between each syllable so that you know that they're, even if you're a hard of hearing, you know that they're saying it weird.
Right, yeah. And they spell it differently, too. It's Chekotay.
I always thought this was such a genius idea of, you know, like... I mean, even just, this is 700 years in the future. Just imagine what we get wrong in our own history. And we try to think that we know what happened, you know, thousands of years ago. And it's just so great. Like, ooh, I just smacked my mic. It's just so great because Seven being a Borg, like she was never liberated, that Janeway took her on as a fighting force. That's just so cool.
Right, yeah, and then she's got all these other drones to help out. Like, they're little Borg slaves. They're working for her.
And then Janeway's the one who suggests, like, yeah, bulk up your team. Go ahead and assimilate them. It's cool.
Exactly, yeah. As long as you're working for me, I don't care what you have to do. Just get it done. Mm-hmm. She's like the leader of the Voyager Mafia. So, Arnold, what's happening here?
Well, now we see the Kim... The Harry Kim just kind of walk under the plate or the railing. Nobody's ever done that before, but now the two of them are having a conversation, and it's just now he goes back into the turbo lift, the whoosh thing, the whoosh.
Yeah. And then there's the doctor.
Then there's the doctor with the funny eyes.
Yes, and the pilgrims. I really can't get over these clothes. Why?
there's a lot of, we're going to talk about this soon, but there's a lot of nondescript costumes in Star Trek where you're just like sometimes, like, to the, I don't even notice it anymore. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, no, just whatever. That's the costuming. But there are certain times when you just get fixated on it and you're like, black men, what are you doing?
Yeah, that is what I'm thinking right now with these guys. I mean, they look like freaking pilgrims. I think it might be the little turtleneck and then just the way the clothing is cut.
Yeah.
But the, I don't know. It, I think it bothers me because this isn't, not a, like, terribly technically advanced society, but they're no slouches either. They're not in, like, colonial times. They're somewhere in between, and yet, I don't know. It's just not working for me at all.
So, so obviously they did something weird with their hair. Is this just a wig, or?
I don't know. I have to think it is, because at this point, her real hair, Janeway's, is more, like, by her ears.
Right. It's further, it's even past her ears. It's not quite to her shoulders, but, you know, yeah, down to her neck. And so you can't really comb that back to the way that they have it.
Mm-mm. It's like, gotta be a wig. And then also, I mean, I'm sorry, dark hair dye takes a lot to get out. So they probably just, yeah, I don't think they did.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who are screaming at us like, of course it's a wig. But I am horrible at noticing what's real hair and what's a wig.
Yeah, I mean, they've got it down pretty well, especially on Voyager. For Janeway, I mean, how many did she wear? My God.
I love that. Like, we will prevail. You know, it's totally like the William Wallace in Braveheart when he just starts screaming freedom.
Yeah.
As his guts are getting ripped out, you're just kind of like, really? Did that really happen?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
No denying it. Yeah. I love this episode for what you were talking about just a moment ago, like how these people's perception of history from what they gathered, what they could conjure up from what artifacts they got, so inaccurate from how we know it. And there is no doubt at all that our version of history is just as convoluted. And you also add in the twist, of course, of who is telling the story.
Yeah, who's the victor? You know, who's on top at that
right.
time? Yeah, absolutely.
You're only going to get that point of view. And as it gets passed down, it gets more and more convoluted. Sort of like a game of, you know, charades or something like that. You start with one thing, and then by the time you get to somebody else, it's completely another thing half the time. It's just,
I'm pretty sure the game you're thinking of is Telephone.
Was that it, charades? I don't know. I never really played it. My bad.
Like, I don't know games.
I don't do games. I do gin.
I love that in what we just saw, like, when they view the simulation, it's they're seeing a window into the holodeck instead of actually being on a holodeck.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's totally going to be our future television. Like, when we look into it, it's going to look like a window into another world. Like, so, like, if we kind of, like, rotate our view, like, if we shift in our seat back and forth, we'll see a little bit of a different angle.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
I can see that happening.
I actually didn't think about that. I was thinking it was just more museum-esque.
Well, no, I mean, like, when the camera's inside the holodeck and we see that they're looking in, the camera moves and you see the rotation of angle and the parallax. But yeah.
Yes.
I love that. This is so weird that they have, it's just devoted to Voyager, you know, like it's,
well, this isn't the first time that Voyager is a museum in some timeline or another.
That's true.
So maybe that's its destiny. It's just destined to be an exhibit somewhere. Now, okay, ooh, here's a question. I'm kind of getting ahead, but I want to know your thoughts on this.
All right.
It takes them 700 years to really get out the Doctor.
Right.
And to start setting things straight. 700 years? Really?
Well, I mean, you gotta think about, I don't know. I'll try to justify it. I mean, if you think about, well, like, think about with First Contact, when the Borg sphere exploded and the rubble, you know, went into the atmosphere and then landed in Antarctica, and they dug it up in Enterprise. You know, that was 100 years later, you know, that they found that stuff. Now, granted, this stuff was stolen, you know, off the ship and then taken someplace else. I could see it, you know, like, you once something is stolen and it got onto the planet. I mean, we have historical artifacts that are stolen from museums or stolen from people's houses or paintings that or gemstones or crowns that are, like, from a different dynasty that wind up not even in the same region, but even a different hemisphere. So, you know, I could see it, you know, like, surfacing later on.
Okay.
But this is just me speculating, you know, like, this is...
Sure. No, I just wanted to know what you thought, because I think that's just a lot of time, but I don't know. Maybe this race of people, they've had some kind of tough relations, and... maybe this just hasn't been their big focus over time, or I don't know.
No, that could very well be. I mean, there could be, you know, a trade dispute or region dispute. And then, you know, there's certain times that people lock borders to outsiders because of a dispute. And so they wouldn't have access to certain areas.
Yeah, that's
true. Mean, we deal with that kind of stuff with, you know, with Picard, you know, when he wanted to be an archaeologist and go to a specific planet, that they're like, nope, you're an outsider. We're not going to let you in.
Right. That's true. That is very true. I could see these two peoples kind of, you know, playing that game with one another.
Okay. So the whole premise of this is that there's a backup module to the Doctor, and that's what they took. So that way we could continue on in the main storyline, and the Doctor can still continue being the Doctor. It's not like they stole the Doctor, they stole his backup. But here's the thing. Whenever there was a problem with the Doctor... they always said, okay, now we could lose him. You know, if he's gone, he's gone. Like, or like if his program degrades, then he's gone forever. Or we have to wipe his memory and he's gone forever. Or if he's with his mobile emitter and that gets destroyed, he's gone forever. How is any of that true if he had a backup module?
Right? And let's not forget, in Message in a Bottle, Harry is trying to, like, kind of recreate the EMH as a backup in case they did lose him. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you can just, like, do a refurbished version that's, like, at factory setting, you know, as the backup, fine. But this goes against everything else they've said, yes. I don't feel like we're being nitpicky here either.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're being nitpicky. I mean, it is a great story, and they are ignoring that so they can tell a great story. But, come on.
You gotta find a way around it, guys.
Yeah, you gotta find a way around it.
Not when you've told us how many times that it can't happen.
I love that. 700 years, give or take a decade. That would put it around 3074.
Yeah, we're talking major future here.
Major future.
Yes. Humanity may or may not exist then.
Do you remember when the Enterprise J was taking place?
I don't, because that's a Star Trek Online thing, right?
No, that's an Enterprise thing.
Oh, okay. No, I do not remember. My Enterprise knowledge is substantially limited, more than definitely Voyager and the other series, because I really need to go through and comb through that baby.
Okay, it looks like it was the 26th century. So this is even past Enterprise J territory. This is super future.
But that said, I do think the Enterprise J is on Star Trek Online.
Enterprise F is on Star Trek Online, yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected. I don't play Star Trek Online either.
I played it for a little bit, and I enjoyed it, but it was kind of the same thing over and over again for me. And I just, MMOs just take up so much time.
That's just it. I hear it's a lot of fun, and the people I know who play it really enjoy it, but you got to invest a lot of time to get anything done, and I know I don't have that time. I can't make that time, so I just don't do it.
And I think, and you know, we're not passing judgment on people who do play it and say, oh, you have nothing but time. No, I mean...
Right. Priorities, just different.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, I would love to play Star Trek Online and get with, you know, people... get with people online and get together and have a fleet. It just sounds like a lot of fun, but sometimes for me it feels like the Doctor, and it would take 700 years.
Well, that's just it. You can't go on, I imagine, for half an hour.
Right. And it's hard to just do a quick mission. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I imagine that's not the way it is. So, I'd love to join in too, but Nope.
I love we get a little just now they talk about how he's going to be charged as a war criminal.
Yeah.
And that's just it's just so cool because they said they're like, "Oh yeah, in our, you know, in our culture, in our time, you know, synthetic, you know, people are, you know, just like normal people or just like organic people." And it's fun to see how like the doctor has been dealing with this his entire existence about how it's like, I just want to be recognized as a person, as an artificial life form, and, you know, someone who's sentient. And then finally, when he's in another culture where they actually do consider him sentient, he's like, yeah, you're going to be tried as a war criminal.
Careful what you wish for, I guess, yeah. Is the moral of that story, huh? Speaking of which, I went and saw Her this weekend. Have you seen it?
No, I want to really bad. I'm going to have to wait for it to come out on video, though.
Mm. It's a really good flick. Check it out, because it, again, is kind of a what happens when you blur the lines between synthetic mm-hmm. sentience and what we consider, I guess, organic beings right. and all of that. Yeah, a very, very good thought-provoking film. If you haven't checked it out, do so if and when you can.
Yeah, I absolutely will. I can't wait, because I love Joaquin Phoenix. I love Spike Jonze, mm-hmm. Amy Adams. I love all those people.
Yeah, great movie.
I love this how...
This is my favorite scene, right
this
here.
Is so great. And then later on, I mean, the doctor says, like, this is nothing how the Voyager crew was. Fighting amongst themselves, he's like, maybe Mr. Paris is the same, but that's it.
And I don't think that's true at all.
Oh, I think it's absolutely true. I think it's so funny.
Well,
like, except for, like, fist fighting. But
well,
just,
okay,
like...
Yeah. Personality-wise, maybe they got it.
It's an exaggeration of what he was. Like, all
yeah.
these other people, like, are totally off the mark. But Tom was just kind of an exaggeration where if he kind of never met B'Elanna, like, where his life would be if he continued mm-hmm. on the path that he was. I feel like that's who we would have seen.
Yeah, you got that. I'm with you. Now, we haven't talked yet about Neelix being a security officer. What do you think about that?
I like that, because we've seen a couple of different alternative futures that show him, like in Year of Hell, and mm-hmm. when we saw Kes going forward in the future, we saw Neelix in a gold uniform, and there he said, he's like, aside from Mr. Paris. no, it's just that we saw him in a gold uniform, and he kept, you know... pestering Tuvok to get him on security detail. So I thought it was cool. I can just see them like look at their records and say like, oh, it says right here he was a morale officer. Clearly that's a mistake. There's no such thing. Okay, make him a security officer.
Something's missing here. We'll just put him in a gold uniform. Call it good.
There you go.
Yeah. They never really did make anything of that in the real timeline, did they? I know Neelix did a little bit of security detail, like he was training up to do it, but mm-hmm. they never really followed through with that path.
I was fine with that. I didn't...
Yeah, I don't really care. I never thought it was great anyway.
I thought it was fun to toy with it, but I'm glad it didn't go where it could have.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get the idea, the friction with Tuvok and all that. That's great, but no.
Trade, okay, all this business about the trade agreement makes me think of Phantom Menace. It's like, according to the trade blockade from the from the Imperial forces,
we will prevail.
I love that.
There it is.
Oh, I love this line coming up too, where it's so dramatic, it's so real, like you actually feel it. You feel the disappointment and just the utter offense that the doctor has when he saw this this portrayal of Janeway.
Yeah. I love this line.
Yeah. He delivered that line so perfectly.
It was spot on. But we know that Bob Picardo's awesome.
Absolutely, yeah. Robert Picardo is just one of those actors who... It's just, he makes it look easy.
He really does. And the guy can do anything. He's so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy. I wish he'd be doing more TV nowadays.
There's so many Doctor episodes where it's just the Doctor.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's because Bob Picardo can carry it by himself.
Yeah. Like, if you think about, like, not paturation, projections. Mm-hmm. It's main, like, yeah, you have other characters like filter in here and there, but it's mainly just him and Barkley. And this episode, it's just him and the pilgrim. And you have what's the episode with Andy Dick? What's it called again?
Oh, Message in a Bottle.
Message in a Bottle. Thank you for remembering. I was blanking. Like, yeah, Message in a Bottle. And then also the episode where he goes to see Zimmerman when Zimmerman's dying.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all really good examples.
Those are all just the Doctor. That's it. Like, nobody else
pretty
from
much.
The crew. Yeah, pretty much. Like, 80% Doctor, if not more.
Yeah, I would say everybody else is supporting at best, including Janeway.
Yeah, including Janeway. Like, even if we see Janeway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in this episode. Mm-hmm. She's still playing a much more minor role than mm-hmm. he is. Yeah.
There's so many times, like, they'll decorate an office. And you're like, what does that do? What does that do on the left right there? Like, the red glowing thing.
It's a radiation chamber lamp thing.
Like, is that a piece of art? Like, the thing on the right? It's so funny. Like, the thing on the left is actually the art, and the thing on the right is actually purifying the air. You know, like, that's... You know, you have no idea.
Oh, I could see that being an air purifier. It looks like something Dyson would come up with. You know, very minimal on the noise. Just mm-hmm. a small...
Even though, you know, like, they do this over-the-top episode, you know, where they have, you know, caricatures of the Voyager crew... it asks the questions about racism and about mm-hmm. the conquerors writing history and subjugating other races in your own culture and then getting history wrong and getting the facts wrong and about how we're like, oh, you know, what does it matter? Voyager was there and there was a conflict. You know, what does it matter what side they were helping or how many people they actually killed? All that matters was there. It's like, no, this shapes like how we look at our history shapes our present and our future. And this is, even though, you know, we see this through a sci-fi lens and it's over the top, it asks the question.
It does. That's why I think this is such a good Star Trek episode. It brings up all these incredibly complex questions, makes us think about our own world and how it applies, you know, in translation. Yeah, what more can you want? And it's entertaining. I mean, this is a really fun episode to watch because I think the way that they framed this whole thing was pretty ingenious. I mean, I got a couple gripes, obviously, but overall, really awesome, solid 44 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they did really good with this one. I like it a lot. And, you know, we were talking about Bob Picardo carrying this episode. Think of this. No other character of the crew could have done this episode. He's the only character who could have been in this premise.
Yeah, absolutely, because the only other way it wouldn't even have, I can't even think of another way. Like, if they froze Chakotay, you know, and then like he woke up,
I guess they could have,
you would still not have Chakotay for the rest of the episodes,
right? So that wouldn't work. It would be very different, and I don't think it would have worked.
No,
same.
not at all. And like, even if they did some sort of weird sci-fi thing where we captured your essence, you know, like we scanned your brain and put it in a computer and that was discovered 700 years later.
Yeah, poor Chakotay. His essence is always being taken by somebody, by Seska or, you know.
His essence of Chakotay.
That needs to be a cologne. Essence by Chakotay. Or
Chakotay.
I think StarTrek.com needs to market that along with the other perfumes and whatnot that they have, like Oh My and
Vulcan
Ponfar.
Heat. Or, there it is. Yeah.
Love it. Hey, if you guys are out there listening, I want to see this.
Okay, now we see Janeway's real hair.
Yes, finally we are back to what we know as reality.
it's funny that you phrase it that way, because yes, even for hardcore Star Trek fans like us, we do consider this reality.
I mean, you got to pick a timeline. this is it. Yeah, I mean, that's the way history has guided us, right? That's what it's led us to believe.
Even looking like this, I would never want to mess with Janeway.
No, I don't think you mess with the Janeway. Unless you want to be in deep trouble.
Yeah, I still, like, even with that smile, you know that she'd phaser you.
Oh, yeah. She does not suffer fools well. Nor should she, really. I love that about her. I mean, she is a very kind and open-minded, most of the time, person. And especially, like, she can be a diplomat, she can be decent at that, but if you mess with her once, shame on you. You know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
I love that this is the doctor's perspective. This is the doctor's recreation. And it always makes me think about how, like, if I had a holodeck and, like, I had a confrontation at work or when I was at school or with, like, some random guy, like, at a Walmart or something, and then, like, I go home, recreate it, and then say something really, really witty, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I would have said. That's so funny.
Any of us would not want that all the time, because right. You always think about that awesome epic thing you could have said 15 minutes after it happens.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
It's like, oh man, if he could read my mind, he'd be like, what?
Yeah, if you could just go back, do mm-hmm. it again. Yeah, you could own that.
I wish we saw Tuvok do more jujitsu and like Vulcan martial arts and just like fight a little bit more like Captain Kirk.
Yeah, he's not much of a karate chopper, is he? He's much more of a meditative Vulcan.
Yeah, but he knows the he can pinch you. He knows the locks and the arm twists and all that business. But yeah, but you're right. He's much more meditative.
He is. He's much more reserved on the physical combat.
How awesome was that when he phasered the entire bridge crew in one shot?
That was pretty freaking awesome.
Like, I remember seeing a video online where it juxtaposed that with a DS9 episode where it was modern combat with phaser rifles. And, like, it was, like, people – it was, like, 20 Starfleet officers shooting Jim'Hadar to epic music. And then they're like, if this kind of battle's going on, why didn't they just use the Tuvok setting that could shoot everybody at once?
Fire everything!
Fire everything!
Yeah, you did such a much better job at that.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Now, I really can't dig the forehead, the nose bridge of the week, if you will, for these aliens.
I do like the darker skinned aliens, though. I do enjoy that forehead of the week, but the people who just look like white guys, yeah, that the two prong on the nose thing, yeah, no, It's boring. We've seen it, and it's just kind of like churn it in, churn it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks phoned in, and mm-hmm. I know after so many years, I'm sure they were struggling for ideas on what they could possibly do to make yet another species look different.
Right.
But this one kind of stands out as like, wow, why did you even try? I mean, yeah, the pilgrim outfit, the nose bridge, these people are not doing it for me. It's a good thing this is a good story. I'm not watching this episode for the costumes or the makeup.
And I love how fashion is exactly the same 700 years later.
Yeah, okay, that's another thing I have a problem with. There is no evolution whatsoever. I mean, these people want to be pilgrims forever?
What?
I mean, we got over it as humans. What?
Like, the only thing that's a little different is that the collar is not as high. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, then what's the deal with the lady's headgear? Or what have you. It reminds me of like when poor kids, they have to wear actual like headgear and then they have the brace on their head going around. That's what it reminds me of.
Okay, so right here, like the tricorder that they had that they found was actually the one that the doctor used to scan one of the leaders. How is that possible? Okay, so like if they stole equipment from Voyager and some people got off before these guys did, obviously, because he was shot and killed. How could that tricorder leave Voyager after the situation was already handled?
That is a really good question.
That's what kind of bothers me. And how'd they get a torpedo tube? How did they get a torpedo tube?
I don't know. They ran out at this point, right? I mean, they were using their created stores at this point where they they had to have been.
Oh, yeah. I watched that video, too, where
Yes, they used, what, 125, 123?
It was something ridiculous. Torpedoes.
Yeah, it was.
I hate that they added that. Like, okay, I wish they chose, okay, either they stick to what they said early on where they're like, okay, well, once we run out, that's it. And then they try to figure out some other means where they have to, like, you know, if they're looking for deuterium, they could also try to find materials to recreate torpedoes or a new type of torpedo, or they just don't have that line. Like, either you follow it or you don't have the line.
Right. I don't know. I think more true to the Voyager story would have been to keep the line and say we've only got 30-something torpedoes, and then we see the point where they really do run out and they're kind of freaking out and they realize we have to improvise some kind of solution here because we can't be without torpedoes.
Right. And it would have been cool to go into a different direction by saying, oh, these are Voyager style torpedoes, or they're influxed with some sort of alien technology, so they look different and sound different. You know, how cool would that be?
Yeah. What about, I mean, they could have done a thing where they have an exchange of technology, you know, some sort of barter to where Voyager could build some torpedoes, but it's not really their idea, it's someone else's, and in exchange they did something else. Or B'Elanna innovates and creates her own torpedo. I mean, it would have been fantastic. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, if she can develop a slipstream drive, I think that she can build a torpedo from scratch.
Right? Yeah. Come on. The girl's a genius.
Come on.
Let her do her thing.
A gorgeous, gorgeous genius.
That should have been the title for our B'Elanna episode.
I love this. She also had a kind of vulnerability.
Yes. He's just like reminiscing right here. I love it.
Yeah. And I also like to call her Turtle Head behind her back.
Yeah. Your words, not his, right?
Maybe. There was an Ally McBeal episode that Robert Picardo was on, and
oh really?
Yeah, it wasn't a very good episode, but
okay, I never watched Ally McBeal.
Yeah, like she was talking with her roommate, and like he was a client or like the opposition, and she's like, so how did court go with that guy? What does he look like again? She's like, a gerbil. He looks like a gerbil, and I was like. Does he? I never really considered Robert Picardo looking like a gerbil.
I don't see it at all. No. What? Where did that come from? I mean, they've got a really distorted view of people there or something, because that just doesn't seem at all right. No, no, no.
And not only that, but Bob Picardo went along with it because he read the script, or they came up with an animal that they thought would match him or something. I don't know. But we also live in a world where people think that an otter looks like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, and again, what?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I also really like this because this is totally something that would happen if, you know, like, I don't know, like, say, I don't know, like, what historical event 700 years, like, say, like, it was really, you know, people from the North who killed Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, now, granted, that wasn't 700 years ago. I know that. But,
yeah.
You know, like, people from the North killed Lincoln, and it was a government conspiracy instead of just the South being pissed off. And, you know, just imagine the outrage and saying, like, no, we proved it. And, you know, and this is what happened. And it's this would, you know, and we built a museum around it or something. You know, this is it would get defaced. It would be destroyed. And this is.
It would. I mean, we'd kind of see this same thing unfold. You'd have the people who never believed what the government was trying to force into people's minds. But then you've got the people who believe passionately that that is what happens because that's what we were told and that is how it happened. Damn it. And yeah, we would probably still be in the Civil War. Hate to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, kind of like what these two races did here. I mean, they've been fighting for God knows how long. Forever. Yeah, again, that's just so many. There's so many ways we could parallel this to our own, what we think we know of history. I don't think we know a damn thing, to be quite honest, because it's all so subjective.
Absolutely.
What we know is only what people have written down from their point of view or what have you. And that is, I mean, that's good, but it's only so good. We're never going to get the full picture because we're not there. programmed to do no harm on a global scale. That's right, violating the first rule, buddy.
I like that when he's I love it whenever the Doctor says that. I love it when he says it's like I do no harm. Like he said that in Tuvix, and he said it a couple other times. Yeah.
It kind of makes me wonder if this culture has a similar medical mantra, because they seem a little less ethical.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just what I'm getting from what we're seeing in this episode. We obviously don't know everything about them because we only get them this week.
Right. We just know that they have a horrible fashion sense and yes. their history books are wrong.
Yes. And I love how the Doctor is so impassioned here about like who am I to be busting in here 700 years later and trying to sort this out and, you know, helping you 700 years later, blah, blah, blah. It could be another 700 years.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And I also love that, like, they're talking amongst the rubble, you know, it's like the sobering light of morning where you see everything well lit and it's just like, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to rebuild? Are we going to continue on? Or are we going to fold?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a kind of a crossroads. You got to choose.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I do like this little pivotal twist here. I did not see this coming.
See, that's what I was talking about earlier about it's just like a. It's, you know, a story within a story within a story, just in mm-hmm. different ways. I love that.
Yeah, it was nicely done, I thought. And they're still wearing the pilgrim clothes. I'm sorry, I can't get over it.
It's so funny.
And they're wearing the headgear. Why?
I love this photo of the Doctor that's coming up. It's just, it's so amazing. It's a publicity photo that for UPN.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, really, they couldn't have used like a still shot that was taken like on the set or, you know, like something within, like just take a camera and shoot them on the actual set that you're in this world, you know, in the museum. But no, it's a publicity photo.
Yeah. But he looks so dignified. His arms are crossed and he's looking very distinguished and smart. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, only we know that. They don't know that.
They don't know that.
All right, that's the episode. Yay, that was a fun one.
I loved it. Yeah, it's this is definitely one of my favorites. It's always something that I put in my rewatch and my rewatch schedule. And yeah, I just like, I love the big tattoo. I love the...
Yes.
I love... we didn't talk about the best line like in the entire episode. Ooh. Is when Paris says, "Shut your mouth, hedgehog."
Yes, yes. Oh, how could we forget that? That was so beautiful. I know that there were tons of people who cheered when they first heard that. Amen, brother. Yes. Any final thoughts you want to throw out before we close up?
Well, that was just pretty much it. I love this episode, and it has a lot of fantastic moments, and I think it has a good. It asks the right questions about our own history and how we perceive it, and how other people might perceive it differently.
Yeah, it's good Star Trek. It makes you think while it entertains.
Absolutely.
Boom. But Living Witness isn't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, so let's listen to a little preview of what else has been happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Hal Sutherland and the Animated Series.
I don't like the animated series. It's not good. However...
See, that's the kind of stuff that makes me forget about it. Would you rather me watch Deep Space Nine or the animated series?
Okay, but now that you're
done...
We made
that choice.
Now that you're done with Deep Space Nine, you can move on to the animated series.
Earl Grey.
TNG Reboot.
I have a lot of problems with this concept of let's just do the next generation. I don't think it's possible. To me, a big part of Star Trek is like this aspect of exploration and finding out the unknown and going out places we've never been.
The Ready Room.
The Wider.
He's basically becoming a good Federation citizen, and that's causing a huge amount of conflict. And maybe even before he was here, that's what got him here, is that his inner ideals made him a bad Cardassian.
The Orb.
Esri Dax.
Which to me, she really seems like, you know, that boy or girl now who's gotten out of college, is living at home again, and not really sure what they want to do with their life because nothing's turning out the way they thought it was going to. Which is funny because her character is actually more relevant now than it was then.
To the journey!
Voyager Season 3 Marathon.
being a child of the 90s, and I hadn't watched this in a while, I realized, oh my gosh, how things had changed and how things hadn't changed. Rainn Robbins' gigantinormous cell phone with the huge antenna and her hippie van, the lava lamp. I mean, I just loved it all. It was very groovy.
Warp 5.
Enterprise Season 5.
Well, they could find, I mean, more excitement in the decon chamber with this whole trip Trantipole love triangle thing for sure.
Yeah, an Andorian fight scene in the decon chamber. Think about it. Wow.
Commentary, Trek stars.
Robert Hewitt Wolf, Andromeda.
I suppose the easiest way to describe them would be a bat, who lead living hosts for their young.
They're kind of like I'm going to say xenomorphs in Alien, even though Max would kill me for saying that.
Yes, and I dare say he will when he listens.
Literary Treks.
Protectors with Kirsten Beyer.
Again, it's just you look at realistically as you possibly can, you know, coming that close to death, being in the continuum, I mean, what's that going to do to someone? And I struggled for a long time figuring out how to have her, again, realistically work through all of those things.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our programs. We have New Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week now, sometimes more than one a day. We've got anything for anything that you fancy. Any show, any genre, you name it, we've got it. On any platform, we are everywhere. We are the Jeffrey Combs of Trek fan sites, pretty much. All right. Now, before we go, we do need to talk about our sponsor. So, Tristan, why don't you let us know who that is?
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. All right, well, before we go, I would love to talk about what is in store for you guys next week. Char, you and I are going to be talking about Q.
Yes.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, whoa. You guys have already talked about Q. But that's right, we did a character analysis of Q. But we are not doing another character analysis. We're doing something with a little bit different spin. And you're just going to have to tune in next week to see what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a surprise. So you've got a long week to wait.
All right, until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!